Let's look today in John chapter number 19. And I think this is an unusual thought, but I believe that God sometimes speaks to our hearts and wants to shake us a little bit. And I pray the Lord will do exactly that today. In verse number 13, we left off there, and the text is actually going to be down in verse 15, but let's read a few verses here. The Bible said in verse 13, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. Let me just say this. Pilate's judgment seat is not final. Our Lord is going to sit on the judgment seat, and his judgment will be true, it'll be right, and it'll be final. Amen. The Bible said, and it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, look at this statement now. You remember last week we looked at the statement, behold the man. Now he says, behold your king. Look at him. Behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, notice this statement, we have no king but Caesar. That's going to be my text this morning, no king but Caesar. The word of God said, then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and the two other with him, on either side one and Jesus in the midst. Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. In other words, Pilate wrote it in such a way he wanted everybody to be able to understand the title that was up there. But watch this now. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, I never caught this before. I was reading this time, and man, it just jumped out at me. Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, what's the next two words? You want to know what was bugging them? Say amen. Why in the world would those chief priests want that included? That he said, they're mocking, I am. It was rubbing them raw, the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Pray with me, please. Father, thank you this morning for the word of God, and thank you, Lord, that you are our God, our Savior, our soon coming King. Lord, when you come the next time, it will not be a lowly babe in a manger. Lord, be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every eye is going to see him. What a day, Lord. What a glorious day that's going to be. Lord, until then, I pray you'd strengthen us, give us grace. And Lord, this morning as I stand here to preach, help me say something, Lord, even that would be a blessing to these youngins that are in our midst. Thank you for them, Lord, every one of them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. This morning I want to just give you the thoughts that the Lord gave to me. I sat on the front porch last night and I've been reading this scripture and over it and over it and over it. And I don't say this to be boastful. I say it as humbly as I know how. I know what it is when God speaks to my heart. And God spoke to my heart. And we'll get into some more of the text maybe tonight. What I want to look at this morning is this little thought, no king but Caesar. No king but Caesar. Sounds like to me a pretty good description of secular humanism. Sounds to me like a pretty good description of what happened in the days of the judges. Brother Thurman, we get down to the end of the book there, and they said, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's a sad state of affairs for a family, for a church, for a country, for a community. When somebody's doing that which is right in their own eyes, and that's the only standard. You're your own God. You call the shots. That's what secular humanism says. And this morning I want to give you about three or four thoughts here. And I hope it'll sink into our hearts this morning. I'm glad I'm on the right side of Calvary. I'm glad I'm on the side with that thief that looked over and said, Lord, remember me. I can't get over. I keep hearing over and over and over about people that are up in years and they're struggling with their memory. But every time I hear that, I go back and think of a song about a man that visited a nursing home, and his wife was in the nursing home, and his wife didn't even know who he was. And the title of the song was, Should the Day Come, I Can't Remember Him. Hallelujah. He will remember me. He's not going to forget his children. He knows where we were when he found us. He knows where we are right now. And thank God he knows where we'll be one day after a while. We'll be with him in glory. There's three things here that I want to call your attention to. Number one, there's no king but Caesar when you disregard history. I believe only the Lord could have showed me this, Brother Steve. It talks right here about the Passover. Here they are celebrating the Passover. The Passover, beloved, the main point of the Passover was the Lamb. And John the Baptist stood on the banks of the Jordan River and said, Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. There was a blatant disregard for history. They're preparing for the Passover, and yet they've disregarded Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and be with child. He's going to be called Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. He's going to be called the Everlasting Father. He's going to be called the Prince of Peace. The government's going to be upon his shoulders. And there was a disregard. I believe this is important. You want to know what's going on in America? There's a blatant disregard for history. Listen to me. You know what I'd like to do? Listen, this would help every one of these young'uns, Brother Aaron. I'd like to take them right by the foxholes in World War I. I'd like to show them the man with his buddy in his hands, blown all to pieces in him, crying out, Oh God. I'd like to take them over there when they got off on the shore. I'd like to take them by and let them see what it cost that we could have this freedom to preach the Word of God this morning, this freedom to get us a job, this freedom to work with our hands, this freedom to own a home, this freedom that God has blessed us with. The sad part about it is we're living in a generation that's trying to rewrite the history. World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War. I've talked to men that's been, let me tell you something. Listen, pay attention to what I'm going to tell you. The men that have been there really don't care to talk about it. They'd like to leave it buried somewhere, amen? They don't want to dig in it. They don't want to dig it up. I'm telling you, beloved, there was a tremendous price paid that we could celebrate the 4th of July and our independence as a nation. Tremendous price paid. There's a disregard for history. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Let me read some things to you this morning. Listen to me carefully. There are people that wants you to believe that the Bible and Christianity had nothing to do with the foundation of this country. That's what they want you to believe. Can I read you just a few things? Listen to me carefully. And you make up your own mind. Would that be fair enough? Let me read you just a few things. George Washington, our first president, he said, while we are zealously performing the duties of good citizens and soldiers, we certainly ought not to be inattentive to the higher duties of religion. To the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of a Christian. That's what the first president of the United States said. John Adams, our second president, the signer of the Declaration of Independence, he said, suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. By the way, let me just say this to you, and I'm not saying this in a mocking manner, but I want you to listen to the difference in how these men write and how men write today. Am I making any sense right there? Just listen to the difference in the language. They were intelligent men. This world will tell you you're a fool if you follow Christ. I'm going to tell you this. The Bible teaches you're a fool if you don't. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Watch this. Suppose a man in some distant region should take the Bible as their only law book. Every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. Every member would be obliged in conscience to temperance, frugality, and industry, and justice, kindness, and charity towards his fellow man, and to piety, love, and reverence toward Almighty God. What a utopia, what a paradise this region would be. He said the general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the only principles in which that beautiful assembly of young gentlemen could unite. And these principles could only be intended by them in their address or by me in my answer. And what were these general principles? I answer, the general principles of Christianity in which all these sects were united, and the general principles of English and American liberty. Now, John Adams said, I will avow that I then believe and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal, look at that, Brother John, and immutable, you can't change them, as the existence and attributes of God, and those principles of liberty are as unalterable as human nature and our terrestrial mundane system. Thomas Jefferson said, the third president and the drafter and signer of the Declaration, God who gave us life and liberty, and God, can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that those liberties are a gift from God, that they are not to be violated, but his wrath, they are not to be violated, but by his wrath. Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever. Even in that generation, beloved, there was the rebels that were raising up against the things of God, and they were concerned. Where's the concern in our generation that this country is going to face the judgment and the wrath of an almighty God if we don't turn around as a people? I like this. See, this is stuff that's not going to be taught nowadays. John Hancock said, resistance to tyranny becomes the Christian and social duty of each individual. Continue steadfast with proper sense of your dependence on God. Nobly defend those rights which heaven gave and no man ought to take from us. James Madison said, a watchful eye must be kept on ourselves, lest while we are building ideal monuments of renown and bliss, here we neglect to have our names enrolled in the annals of heaven. You say, preacher, what's he talking about? The Lamb's Book of Life. He's talking about building a kingdom down here and forgetting about that's eternal in the heaven.
James Monroe, the fifth president, said, when we view the blessings with which our country has been favored, those which we now enjoy, and the means which we possess of handing them down unimpaired to our latest posterity, our attention is irresistibly drawn to the source from whence they flow. Let us then unite in offering our most grateful acknowledgement for these blessings to the divine author of all good. John Quincy Adams said, the hope of the Christian is inseparable from his faith. Whoever believes in the divine inspiration of the Holy Scripture must hope that the religion of Jesus shall prevail throughout the earth. Never since the foundation of the world have the prospects of mankind been more encouraging than to that hope that they appear to be at present time, and may the associated distribution of the Bible proceed and prosper till the Lord shall have made bare his holy arm in all the eyes of all the nation, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. I'm not going to read all of these this morning. They're all certainly worthy of reading. But let me skip down to Patrick Henry and give you a quote from him. I put this in the bulletin. Patrick Henry said this, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, peoples of other faith have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship here. The Bible is a book worth more than all the other books ever printed." I say hallelujah. I don't want to forget our history. And I believe there was a disregard for history that caused mankind and this generation to raise up men that ought to have known better. Men that knew the Word of God but did not know the God of the Word, and say, we'll have no king but Caesar. You remember back there, what's this now? Beloved, I'm going to tell you, we're in a battle right now. Now listen, I'm going to try my best not to get political. But we're in a battle right now. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. You say, preacher, I can almost get excited when I see it going on. I can almost get excited if we lose the battle, because the king is coming. You know what some people in this world want? They want globalism. They want one money, one market. Somebody help me. Amen. They want a one world religion. And honey, according to this book, they're going to get it one day after a while. And the closer they come to getting it, the closer we are to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for his own. Why did they say there's no king but Caesar? Because there was a blatant disregard for history. Moms and dads, let me tell you something right now. You'd be wise to get you a good history book and teach your children. You'd be wise to introduce them to the veterans in this church and let them spend 15 or 20 minutes just talking a little bit about their love for this country, their love for that flag. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. I'm not trying to boast, but if somebody wants to step on that flag in this auditorium, they're going to have to go over me to do it. I've never fought for this nation as far as on the foreign soil, but I love this country, I love that flag, and I'll stand for that flag by the grace of God till Jesus comes. Why did they say, we're not going to have any king but Caesar? You remember over there in, I believe it's Revelation 2, the church at Ephesus, they had done so many things right. And yet Jesus, right in the middle of his exhortation to the church, to the angel of the church at Ephesus, which many believe to be the pastor, he stopped and he said this, I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. You say, well, preacher, why would you bring that up in this message? I'm going to tell you why. Because, beloved, when we stop remembering, we'll leave our first love. The Lord's instruction was to return, to remember, to return, and to repent. That's what the Lord's instruction to the church at Ephesus was. Remember, return, go back and do the first works, and repent. Amen. Well, I got that in the wrong order. It was remember, repent, and return. That's the right order. that God gives it to them in the Scripture. I'm telling you this morning, no king but Caesar when there's a blatant disregard for history. Let me give you secondly, when there's a blatant disregard for humanity, there's no king but Caesar. You say, preacher, I don't know where you're going with this. Well, here it comes. Lord, I didn't write it down, so I'm just trusting my memory, and the Lord ain't going to let me get by without doing it. I was reading last night, and I was studying and minding God's business, and all of a sudden it just flashed up in front of me. LGBTQ. You say, preacher, have you lost your mind? No, I haven't lost my mind. According to this world, that means lesbian and gay and bisexual and transgender. And the Q either stands for queer or questioning. But here's what I think it ought to stand for. Love the boys and girls. And the T would be tell them the truth. And the Q would be it'll answer their questions. You say, preacher, what is the matter with you? Beloved, listen. They're fixing to beat the Son of God. They've already beaten him. They've already scourged him. They're fixing to hang him on an old rugged cross. You want to know why? There was a disregard for humanity. You know, I could go down through here this morning. This is all the children's church up here, right? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 kids. How many believes I counted right? How many believes I counted right? Uh-uh. Stand up, Miss Amanda. Kids. I'm not calling Miss Amanda a kid, but she sure is carrying one. Amen. How many's with me? You want to know why there's a blatant disregard for humanity? That young is just as much human as these. Just as much human as mama. Just as much human as daddy. I'll tell you why. That's the crowd that'll say, we have no king but Caesar. I'll do whatever I want to. Am I right or am I wrong? No king but Caesar. I'm going to tell you something right now. The happiest people in this world have a king. And his name is not Caesar. His name is Jesus. The happiest people in this world, they understand the mess that they make. Brother John, you talked about this morning. We're not going to go into the mess that we made back there in our lives. But all we done is make a mess. When we were king, when we were calling the shots, all we knew how to do was make a mess. Somebody help me. But along came King Jesus and changed their life. They had no regard for humanity. When there's no king but Caesar, there's no regard for humanity. I believe with all of my heart, America's just a few days, maybe years. Let me give you something this morning. How many's noticed the sign any this summer? Have you noticed it any this summer? How many's noticed the picture of the church and there's a big rainbow going over the church? That crowd has even took something that God made, Brother Ralph, a big rainbow, and tried to make an abomination out of it. You want to know why? They have no regard. No regard for humanity. None whatsoever. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen, you don't have to believe what I'm going to tell you, but it's the same in 2019 as it always has been. Male and female created he them. It's the same. When you go down to the nursery at the hospital and somebody says, what is it? Nobody turns around and says, we don't know. They'll say it's a boy or it's a girl. By the way, they're usually telling you that before it ever gets here, amen, because they can take pictures. Help me. And by the way, those pictures that they're taking have saved a lot of babies. Because when mama got to see the picture, she said, uh-uh. That's a baby in there. That ain't a blob. That's a baby. When there's no king but Caesar,
There's a disregard. You want to know why that you got nations in the world that just slaughter their people and put chemicals to their people and they have no regard for life? I'll tell you why. The only king they have is Caesar. But I mean, there's coming a day when they're going to face another king. You can mark that down. And they're going to realize on that day they've been on the wrong side of the truth. When you disregard history, there's no king but Caesar. When you disregard humanity, there's no king but Caesar. Let me give you this and I'm done. Y'all know I could preach an hour on both of those without a problem whatsoever. But I believe you're getting the message today that God has given me. No king. You know what we ought to do? We ought to fall on our face today. And we ought to thank God that we're not our own king. And we ought to thank God that our president's not our king. That our senators are not our king. That we have no king but Jesus. What a blessing. What a blessing. Now, the Bible does teach that you're to observe and obey the laws of the land. And I believe that with all of my heart. Unless it crosses the Bible. If it crosses the Bible, God's people are supposed to go with the book. Somebody help me. Amen. The last thing, when you disregard humility, there's no king but Caesar. You know what everybody has to do to change kings, Brother Aaron? They have to humble themselves. As a little child, say, oh God, I'm a sinner. Brother Brian, and I think he was quoting Brother Mitchell, but I just can remember him saying, I had to take sides with God against myself. That takes humility, amen. Nobody ever gets saved without it. The Bible said, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You want to know why God couldn't speak to these priests? Why he couldn't help them? It's because they were so full of their self. They were so full of tradition. They were so full of pride that they couldn't see that the one they were fixing to crucify was God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, remember the days of Noah as it was in the days of Noah. Remember Lot's wife. Remember the Passover. Amen. Remember these wars that have been fought. You know, listen to me carefully. This school of thought's foreign to me. But there are people that want to apologize for Nagasaki and Hiroshima. I say this. The only ones that have any right whatsoever to apologize are the ones that survived Pearl Harbor. Everybody else ought to keep their mouth shut. And I'm going to be honest with you. I believe a lot of lives were saved. It's a different picture now. I was thinking the other day, you know, the Bible said the earth is going to melt with fervent heat. There may be enough fervent heat that man's made to melt it. I don't know. I know this. Brother Thurman, I didn't think you could fly a plane into a skyscraper and melt it. Did you? I had no idea you could do that, brother. I don't even know if they knew that. You understand what I mean? But it got so hot in there that those beams, how many's ever worked in steel? I'm talking about beams that are going up over 100 stories into the air, melted, and just run down like a ash wood out, or like fire or molten wood out of a volcano, just run down to the bottom. I want to say this morning, and I'm done. There's a king called Jesus. And if you leave here this morning without King Jesus, that's on you. It ain't on him. Are you listening to me? God did not force the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He did not force the truth on them. You remember over there in the book of, I believe it was in the book of Kings. Is that, I get confused a little bit with Samuel and the book of Kings, but the stories maybe in all of them. But you remember when the children of Israel, they rejected the theocracy. They said they wanted a king so they could be like the rest of the world. That's, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what they said. We want to be like all the other nations of the earth. I'm going to tell you something. America ever gets to that day, America's in trouble. God has blessed us. And we ought to stand for what's right. I watched the news early this morning, just a little bit of it. There was a man on a campus that was just trying to report on the protests that were going on. They beat that man. They threw stuff at him. They mocked him. And I'm telling you right now, we're not in the majority if you're talking about counting heads. But if you include the king, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. And I want to be standing for what's right when he comes, don't you? Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our heart. Lord, I'm glad this morning that every child of God has a king. Lord, we're not going to say we have no king but Caesar, because we enjoy the blessings of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. Lord, as we have a time of invitation this morning, it is my prayer. Someone that's here without Christ would come and trust Jesus. That every one of us, Lord, would be thankful for what we have here in the United States of America. May we take just a moment, Lord, and worship you, our living Lord, our soon coming King. Our heads are bowed this morning.